As I launch into this morning, there's a little song I want us to start with this morning. And my title is Jesus Messiah today. Jesus is going to be helping us to see who he is. And so this morning, would you just lift these words with me? He says, he became sin who knew no sin, that we might become his righteousness. He humbled himself and he carried the cross. Love so amazing, love so amazing, love so amazing. Jesus Messiah, above all names, name above all names, blessed Redeemer, Emmanuel, Emmanuel. He's the rescue for sinners, the ransom from heaven. Jesus Messiah, Lord of all, Lord of all. Can you declare this with me? All our hope, all our hope is in you. All our hope, all our hope. Jesus Messiah, name above all names, blessed Redeemer, Emmanuel, Emmanuel. He rescued us. He's the rescue for sinners, our ransom, the ransom from heaven. Jesus Messiah, he's Lord of all. Is he really Lord of all? Is he who he says he is? Jesus Messiah, that's my title today. Over the past few weeks, we've been listening to Jesus as he answered questions that came from the religious leaders of his day. But here we are in Luke chapter 20, verse 41, if you want to go ahead and turn there. Jesus comes up with his own question to ask them. This question and the comments that follow help us to see who Jesus really is, and it also reveals some things that he is calling us to live like. In fact, he brings up the negatives so we can understand what it looks like. Here we begin, though, with the question that's asked by Jesus. Luke chapter 20, verse 41. Then Jesus presented them with a question. Why is it, he asked, that the Messiah is said to be the son of David? For David himself wrote in the book of Psalms, the Lord said to my Lord, sit in the place of honor at my right hand until I humble your enemies, making them a footstool under your feet. Since David called the Messiah Lord, how can the Messiah be his son? Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Teach us, show us, and give us faith to know who you are today. In Jesus' name, amen. When Jesus asked this question, he knew that the average religious leader of that day knew and thought the Messiah is going to be a descendant of David, but most of the religious leaders also had concluded that the Messiah would be like King David. Not just a descendant, but he's going to come and he's going to bring Israel to a place of prominence again. That's what they thought. But Jesus points to what David actually wrote in Psalm 110. He wrote these words when he said, "The Lord said to my Lord." That's what King David is writing. In this passage, David is referring to the Messiah, it's a messianic passage. And David is saying, God, the Almighty God, the Lord, was talking to the Messiah, the Lord. The Lord said to my Lord. God is telling us the Messiah is going to have the enemies as a footstool for him. And so Jesus is asking them, if the Messiah is simply just another earthly king from the line of David, why does David call him my Lord? Why use this terminology? Why is the Lord then given also this position of great honor to be seated at the right hand of God Almighty? Well, we know today, and he's explaining to them who he is, because the Messiah is Jesus. Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is the one who will be seated at the right hand of God Almighty. John records for us in his gospel another time when Jesus was talking with the religious leaders and declaring who he was. And it's found in John 8:56. It says this. Jesus is speaking, telling the religious crowd, "Your father Abraham rejoiced as he looked forward to my coming. He saw it and was glad." The people said, "You aren't even 50 years old. How can you say you've seen Abraham?" Jesus answered, "I tell you the truth. Before Abraham was even born, I am." At that point, they picked up stones to throw at him. But Jesus was hidden from them and left the temple. The Jewish leadership that heard him that day understood what he said when he said, "Before Abraham was born, even born, I am." They knew Jesus here at this point was claiming to be eternal. Using the phrase, "I am," Jesus was taking for himself the name of God that was used in Exodus chapter 3 when God told Moses his name, when he said, "I am." So when Jesus says he is I am, the scripture says they were picking up stones because they were intending to kill him for blasphemy, they thought. Somehow the Bible says, in reading a few different translations, trying to understand this, but he somehow miraculously escaped. He was hidden from their eyes, and he escaped from that moment because his time had not yet come. When I look at these two accounts, you can see that Jesus wasn't really afraid to declare who he was. He is the Messiah. He is God eternal. From our passage today, Jesus basically is declaring the Messiah, as a descendant of David, is going to be more than an earthly king because he is the Lord. Secondly, the Messiah is going to sit at the right hand of God in a place of honor. In this passage, Jesus is simply revealing that he's the Son of God, he's the Messiah, he's the Eternal One who will be Lord of all. We declare it later, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The problem for the teachers of the law, though, was this. They were looking at the Messiah through their narrow lens of their own expectations. They were really struggling to see who Jesus was. Now, church, this could be a problem for us. We all tend to view Jesus how we expect him or how we want him to be. Some see him as one who makes medical miracles happen. Others see him as one who brings justice to the wicked. Others see him as one who understands our torments and what we go through. Others see him as one who gives good things and blesses. Others see him as he loves me just like I am. And others say, well, he's the one who shows us the way. All of these things describe the work of Jesus, but those things are not Jesus. Those are things Jesus does, but it's not who Jesus is. People who can only see Jesus in terms of what he does or what he taught are missing the real beauty of who the Lord Jesus Christ really is. Lord, you need to understand, is his title. He is Lord. Jesus is his name, and Christ, we understand, means the anointed one or the Messiah. It reveals the purpose of why Jesus came to earth. The Lord Jesus Christ. He came to earth, but he came as in human flesh, but he was God living among us. He came to show us the incredible love of God. He came to give us an opportunity to be a part of his kingdom. So we shouldn't just turn to him because he can meet our deepest need of salvation and worship him just for that. We should turn to him as the one who is worthy of our devotion and worship because of who he is. Jesus is God, our Savior. I thank him for what he's done, but I worship him for who he is. That's why we have to worship him for much more than what he's done. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts, though, with praise. Lord, I come because you allowed me. You let me come in, but I praise you for who you are. Revelation 5 gives us a picture from heaven's perspective. John writes these words in Revelation 5. John begins by saying, I wept and wept because no one was found who was worthy to open the scroll or look inside. Then one of the elders said to me, do not weep. See, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has triumphed. He is able to open the scroll and its seven seals. And then in verse 8, it goes on. And when he, speaking of the Lamb of God, had taken it, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Each one had a harp, and they were holding golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of God's people. And they sang a new song, saying, you are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals because you were slain. And with your blood, you purchased for God persons from every tribe and language and people and nations. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth. And then I looked and heard the voices of many angels numbering thousands upon thousands and 10,000 times 10,000. They encircled the throne and the living creatures and the elders. In a loud voice, they were saying, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise. And then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that's in them saying, to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor, glory and power forever and ever. The four living creatures said, amen. And the elders fell down and worshiped. See, the worship didn't end after the proclamation of what he had done. The worship continued because of who he was. Church of Heaven understands this and worships him that way. And what he's done and what he's accomplished because of who he is. Shouldn't we get a glimpse of who he is and give him all the worship he deserves? He is Messiah. He's the Savior of all mankind. He is Wonderful Counselor. He is Mighty God. He is Everlasting Father. He is Prince of Peace. Church, He is Emmanuel, God with us. He's worthy of our praise. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. In the next part of this passage from this morning, though, in verses 45 to 47, we are told that Jesus turns to His disciples, and there were others who were within the sound of His voice, and here's what happened. It says in verse 45, then, with the crowds listening, because He just declared who He was, He turned to His disciples and said, beware of these teachers of religious law, for they like to parade around in flowing robes and love to receive respectful greetings as they walk in the marketplaces, and how they love the seats of honor in the synagogues and the head table at banquets. Yet they shamelessly cheat widows out of their property and then pretend to be pious by making long prayers in public. Because of this, they will be severely punished. From this passage, we can see that Jesus is declaring who He is, and yet there's this group of people who are trying to get your praise. There's five characteristics here that I believe Jesus brings out that these religious leaders were struggling with because they're living the wrong way. They're bringing glory to the wrong person. And so Jesus reveals these problems so that we can hear them today and respond the right way. The first issue He brought up was they like to parade around in flowing robes. The priests and teachers of the law often wore white robes while they were doing their duties in the temple. But instead of taking off their robes after work, they wore them in public as a way of seeking respect and admiration and honor. It would be like your doctor going out in public with their white coat or their scrubs on with a stethoscope around their neck so people can notice that they're a doctor. Or a fireman wears his turnout gear while shopping in a shopping mall. You see, it wasn't really about the clothes, it was what they were trying to say by what they were wearing. These men wore their flowing robes so they would be noticed as religious leaders. In those days, those white flowing gowns would have stuck out immediately among the crowd. But the problem was this. They were not concerned about promoting the honor of God. They were concerned about promoting themselves. Secondly, Jesus says this. They loved to receive respectful greetings as they walked in the marketplaces. Status was everything to these guys. It was all about this pecking order. It was who is more important than who. They wanted people to greet them with respect and admiration, but they wanted that because they thought their position was worthy of it. Sadly, they were just puffed up in their positions, and that was a problem. A third issue was they loved the seats of honor in the synagogues and the head table at banquets. These men always felt that they deserved the best seat at any meeting or at any banquet. Church, something we have to realize is we cannot promote the idea that we are great and then honestly exalt God to the highest place. There's only one who is great and greatly to be praised. And if we think that is us, then it cannot be the Lord. Church, we've got to learn to be satisfied with whatever position or whatever seat that you are offered. For us, it's learning to be content in every situation. The next thing Jesus deals with is this. They shamelessly cheated widows. Somehow these religious leaders were deceiving the widows. They were scamming them out of their property, their estate, swindling the widows just to get their money when it was the widows who really needed their help. It still goes on today. There are still people out there today who are scam artists, and they're targeting our senior citizens and others. They make promises of great payoffs and financial security. Can I warn you be careful of those calls, people. In fact, if I could go as far to tell you, any charity you give to, please go check it out. See what their financial statement, where are they really spending the money? I think some of you will be surprised. So be careful. There are people out there who are misleading you and lying to you all to get your money. These type of people really only care about themselves and don't care who they hurt while they do it. Followers of God, church, we're not like that, are we? No, Hebrews 13:16 reminds us, and do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices God is pleased. So help others. A fifth thing that Jesus dealt with was they pretend to be pious. They did this by making lengthy prayers in public places. Now, Jesus is not condemning prayer here. He's not even saying that you can't pray for a long time, but he's saying you cannot and you should not pray to impress people with how spiritual you are. That is wrong. That's what these religious leaders were doing. They were praying, but they really weren't talking to God. They were just speaking so those around them could be impressed with their words. Church, those who parade their spirituality are only concerned about advancing and building their own kingdom. Those who truly follow Christ do not need to trumpet your prayers or trumpet your actions for others to see or hear. Church, as followers of Jesus Christ, we've got to guard against acting like the religious leaders. Those five issues that Jesus deals with, I believe can be wrapped up in a simple statement. A statement that we need to put into practice, and it's this statement: be humble. Everybody say, be humble. Now live it. Easier to say, but we ought to. Listen to some portions of Scripture from Isaiah. It says, the Lord Almighty has a day in store for all the proud and lofty, for all that is exalted, and they will be humbled. Remember what he said? They will be severely punished. Philippians, Paul writes, don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourself. James writes it this way, but he gives us more grace. That's why the scripture says God opposes the proud but shows favor to the humble. We need to be humble. Amen. Worship team, would you come? As we close this morning, I want to draw a couple of life lessons for us. The first one is simply this: we must know that Jesus is the Messiah. Question, who is Jesus to you? Is he just a great religious leader? Is he a noteworthy teacher? I'm telling you this morning, Jesus is God. He is God who took on flesh and humbled himself and went to a cross for you and for me. He is Messiah. Jesus is the promised one who came to redeem us and to forgive us of our sins. Jesus, the Messiah, is the promised one to save us. Paul is writing to the Romans in chapter 10. He puts it this way: if you declare with your mouth, Jesus is what? Lord. He's not just Savior. It's not just the activity of what he's done, it's who he is. That Jesus is Lord. And believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified. And it's with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. As Scripture says, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Church, Jesus is Lord. It's not just what he's done, it's who he is. We need to believe in him and confess him as Lord of our lives. And the Bible says, if you do that, you will be saved. You believe in your heart. He died, he rose again, but I confess him as Lord. Not just as a Savior, not just as one who went to the cross for me, but I confess him as Master of everything. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So this morning, I come, before we go any further, what we call an altar call or a salvation call. I don't want you to ever get tired of hearing a salvation call. I think sometimes maybe you don't battle it as much as me, but I'm like, okay, we do this every week. Yes, we need to do it every week. Because I don't know what the enemy has done to your life throughout the week. I don't know where your mind has traveled or what, or maybe there's someone who came this day and hasn't surrendered their life to the Lord, and this is the day of salvation for them. So this ought to be one of the most exciting moments. But church, it's not just that he died for me. It's who he is. And this morning, you need to know he's Lord. He's Lord of all. And this morning, I want to give you an opportunity. Every week when we pray that prayer, or myself, I'm always rededicating my life to the Lord. In fact, I don't do it just every Sunday. I do it every day. I have to get up going, God, you're Lord today. Because if I don't make him Lord, I begin to be elevated in my own thinking of look who I am and look what God's done in my life. And boy, if they could see that. No, thank you, Lord, for what you've done. You're Lord. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. Church, I am nobody. I'm a little boy who had a cleft palate, who had a speech impediment growing up. Why in the world would God call me to a pulpit to speak his truth, except that God, by his works, did a miracle in my life, and I'm grateful for that. But I'm not just worshiping because of what he did. I now know who he is. So I'm not declaring what he can just do. I'm telling you who he is. Because that's who I want to worship. Because one day, as we talked about earlier, when we get to heaven, church, I know grandma and grandpa and aunts and uncles who may have gone before, praise God they made it. But I'm looking forward to seeing Jesus, who is Lord of all. That's who I want to worship. That's who paid for my sin and gave me the opportunity of not just being saved, but to know him. So church, I don't know where you're at today, but let me give you that opportunity. With your heads bowed, eyes closed, just you and the Lord right now, and I want to stand with you. But if that's you this morning, says, I need to invite Jesus to be Lord of my life. Maybe it's been a game you played, and you've just been in church, and you've not really made him Lord. Maybe you're just flat out lost and in the world, and you're like, but I need to know Jesus. Today's your day. And maybe you've just been drawn away, and he's saying, come home, come home. Make me Lord of your life. If that's you in the balcony or main floor, would you just slip your hand up, and you can put it right back down. I just want to pray with you. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Just looking around, just quickly, balcony, is there any? May have not seen that. Yes. Thank you. This morning, let's confirm this thing. Not just what he done, but who he is. Amen. Amen. Would you pray with me? Say, Father in heaven, thank you for sending your son. I believe your son is God. I believe he died for me. and I believe he rose again. And by faith today, I confess you as Lord of my life. Jesus, lead me, guide me, and may I worship you alone. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. We bless you, Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. A final thought for today is we need to learn what Jesus wants us to be. He saved us. He's redeemed us. Praise God. But what are we going to be? We're going to be humble. First and foremost, that's what God desires out of our life. We can never forget where we came from. We cannot forget where we were headed before we met Jesus Christ. Church, we have to remember we are no better than anybody else, and we are called to love one another. Listen to what Jesus says in John 13:35. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. But if we're not doing that, if we're all about me and look at me, one of the hardest things that I about ministry that I struggle with, and I really do, is this position right here. Because people look to me as though you're the Savior. You're the one bringing His word. I am not the Savior. I bring you the word of truth so you can know the Savior, but make Him Lord of your life. I am humbled to stand here with all my past and with all the struggles. I'm like, who am I? I am no one's church. Just that voice calling out, saying, come on, know who he is, know who he is. And if anything, follow me as I follow Christ, like Paul said, because I am weak. But church, I want you to know him. I want you to know who he is, because it changes your life. I love the story of Moses. Think about it for a moment. Moses is wanting to see God. He says, God, I want to see you. And God says, you can't or you'll die. God puts him, it says, in the cleft of a rock in a little hidden place. And God puts his hand over that place and God walks by. But listen to what God does. God begins to declare his name. I am provider. I am healer. I am savior. I am redeemer. I am restorer. I am your help in time of trouble. He declared his name. I am. I am everything you need. And church, if you can understand who he is, And we have this struggle of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Church, they are one. One. Expressed in three persons. But they're one. They're God. And God has put his very spirit. You carry the spirit of God within you. How do you think we ought to respond? Listen to this. 1 Peter, I think, puts it for us. Out of all the people who could write it well, it wouldn't be Peter, right? But Peter gets it. Listen to what he says in 1 Peter 3:8. Finally, all of you, be like-minded. Be sympathetic. Love one another. Be compassionate and humble. Church, I want to know who Jesus is. And I want to declare that. He is the Messiah. He is the one who's redeemed me. But I want to not just worship him because of what he's done, but for who he is. Amen.